Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Cantara Show.
Doctor!
Now, here's the coach, John Cantara, on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, jumping into the third and final hour, going to 3 o'clock, then I'll turn the reins over to Gwen and Chris. I'll have you 3 to 7. Jesse Agler going to be along tonight at 7 o'clock with our Padres Social Hour. And again, tomorrow, 97.3 The Fan Baseball Roundtable, 12 o'clock, a first hour of the show. Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, yours truly, will moderate. And we're going to talk about the Padre starting rotation. Then at 1 o'clock, we'll open up the phone lines and we'll get our regular show underway. And we're going to be doing several of these roundtables surrounding the Padres leading up to opening day, whether it's July 23rd or July 24th. Ball club's supposed to report to Petco Park on my birthday on Wednesday, July 1st. They'll take their COVID-19 test and do everything they need to do, and hopefully they'll all be on the field by Friday. In this segment, we are going to take a look at the top prospects on the Padre roster that was announced yesterday afternoon. And then at the bottom of the hour, we're going to give you a full breakdown of the Padres roster before we get out of here at 3 o'clock. But right now, let's get to today's Bench the Coach.
It's time to test your San Diego sports knowledge and see if you have what it takes to try and bench the coach on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Coach, getting into it today. We have Dalton in Claremont. Dalton, what's going on?
What's going on, guys? How are we doing?
Yeah, we're doing well, Dalton. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for calling in, and best of luck today.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Dalton, sticking with the NFL today, since the Patriots signed a quarterback yesterday, we're going to go with who led the league in passing yards last year for a quarterback. Looking for the top five, maybe a top five quarterback in passing last year. You will get a point. Everyone coach gets correct, you will get a point. First 1-3 will win today's contest. So, Dalton, name me one of the top five passers in passing yards a season ago for the NFL.
And just to be correct, I'm just naming one, right?
You're going to name one every time you get one of the top five, and every time you get one correct, you get a point, and then Coach will go. Everyone he gets right, he'll get a point. Back and forth, you'll go.
Got it. All right, Drew Brees.
Drew Brees, not on the list of the top five passing yards last year, surprisingly enough.
I will go with the former Los Angeles Charger quarterback, Philip Rivers.
That's correct. 4,615 yards last year for Philip Rivers. Puts him at fourth on the list. Back to you, Dalton.
Jared Goff.
Unfortunately, yes, that is correct. Jared Goff, 4,638 yards. Kind of surprising with the season that he had last year. Still loading up on the passing yards, though. It's a point correct for you, Dalton. 1-1, Coach. See if you can break the tie.
Well, I know offhand. I went with Philip Rivers because I knew he was in the top five. But the guy that actually led the NFL last year is now a backup quarterback in New Orleans, and that's Jameis Winston. He threw for over 5,000 yards last year for Tampa Bay.
Threw for over 5,000 yards last year, 5,109 yards to be exact. And yes, Coach, he is now a backup quarterback, surprisingly enough. That is three of the top five on the list. Dalton, stay in the game. Give me another quarterback that was in the top five in passing yards a season ago.
Matt Ryan.
That is correct. Matt Ryan comes in at number five, 4,466 passing yards on the list. Back to you, Coach. If you get this one correct, you will win today's contest.
I'm going to go with the guy that just signed the contract franchise tag for $31.4 million in Dallas. I'm going to go with Dak Prescott.
That's correct. Dak Prescott comes in number two.
Hey, Dalton, good effort. That call on Matt Ryan was fantastic. If you'd got that, the first answer, you may have taken me down today, but that one gaffe at the beginning got you.
Yeah, Breeze, that's my mistake. He was out for five games, so that wouldn't have made sense.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, when in doubt, that was probably a pretty good guess, but you did a hell of a job. That Matt Ryan call was pretty good. I wouldn't have got that one.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks again.
All right, Dalton and Claremont. Good effort by Dalton and Claremont today. Braden, how about you got the top 10 there for last year? Let everyone know who are the top 10 passers.
I do have the top 10 if it wants to cooperate with me. Almost there. All right, Jameis Winston, number one. Dak Prescott, number two. Jared Goff comes in at three. Phillip Rivers, four. Matt Ryan, five. Russell Wilson, six. Tom Brady, seven. Derek Carr, eight. Carson Wentz, nine. And Patrick Mahomes, 10. Rounds up the top 10.
You know, that's pretty interesting because, you know, everybody talks about Winston. He led the NFL in passing. He had 33 touchdown passes, 30 interceptions. He loses his job, no longer even in the organization. And Jared Goff, I think most people thought that he had an awful year, but what, he ended up, what, fourth in the league or a third in the league in passing?
Yeah, he's in the third in the league in passing.
Yeah, and Rivers, I think, was fourth, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, that interesting stuff. Even though you're throwing for a ton of yards, doesn't mean you're having a great year. And I'm anxious to see, Braden, what happens with Jameis Winston there with New Orleans. I want to see if he can I don't know if he'll get the opportunity that Teddy Bridgewater was given last year. And Teddy Bridgewater really made the most of it, and he parlayed that into a nice contract this year. I don't know if Winston will get that opportunity, but I'm also kind of wondering whether or not Drew Brees is going to play pass this year.
Yeah, I don't think he'll play past this year, but you also have Taysom Hill in that quarterback room, too, and Taysom Hill actually takes some snaps every once in a while. So, and you know when Drew Brees gets taken out on the sideline, he's not thrilled about it, even if Taysom Hill does well.
Yeah, but I'm not convinced Taysom Hill's going to be the Saints quarterback after Drew Brees retires. I think if Jameis Winston shows enough and picks up what Sean Payton's teaching there, he could be the guy going forward. We'll have to wait and see on that. All righty, Braden, let's get to this part of our show that we planned on today. Which top prospects on the Padre roster will make an impact in 2020? Well, the easy guess would be the big left-hander, Mackenzie Gore. That would be my guess.
Right, and that was somebody we were talking about potentially having an impact even this year if full season was in force at some point in time. Him and Luis Patino are two guys. These are the list of the players that are in camp right now that are on the 60-man roster that are part of prospects. In fact, they got 13 of them on the list. Most of their top guys are on this list. Mackenzie Gore, their number one prospect. C.J. Abrams, their number two. Luis Patino, their number three. Luis Camposano, their number four. Taylor Trammell, Adrian Morihone, the 5'6". Michelle Baez, the 7. Ryan Weathers, the 8, or the number 9 prospect. Joey Cantillo, the number 10. Owen Miller, to Tucupita Marcano, Hudson Head, Ronald Bolaños, Jake Cronenworth, Edward Olivares, Javi Guerra, and David Bednar, all the prospects that are on the list that are all ranked within the top 30 of the Padres prospect list putting on this roster. Obviously, guys kind of like near the bottom there, Javi Guerra, Jake Cronenworth, those are a couple guys we were talking about going into the season as being part of this club. Guys like Mackenzie Gore, Luis Patino have a really good opportunity. Guys like Taylor Trammell have a chance to make an impact as well, but I think the majority of these kids are probably guys just getting reps in the taxi squad.
You know, Braden, when I was coaching, I was very fortunate to have some really, really good left-handers that were drafted. I had a kid by the name of Pete Roberts, and Pete Roberts may be listening. He was the number one pitching prospect back in the mid-90s in the They used to have a January draft, and I had another guy on that same staff, a guy named John Coley. And, you know, I've always been infatuated with good left-handed pitchers. And I look at the Padres right now. You got Mackenzie Gore. Most people figure he's a can't-miss guy, but, again, a lot of things have to come into play. Adrian Morahone, who we saw a little bit last year at the big league level, he got tremendous arm. You know, I got to figure out exactly what the Padres are trying to do with him. Are you going to be a reliever or starter? I think they want him to be a starter. He's going to have to log some innings, not necessarily at the big league level, but, you know, in workout games or whatever. It's kind of a lost season for him. And then Ryan Weathers, their former number one draft pick, and then Joey Cantillo, who we saw put up big numbers last year in Fort Wayne, and then he came out and finished the year with Lake Elsinore. The Padres have a bevy of outstanding left-handers, and not all these guys are going to make it. You know, well, some guys just aren't going to get people out. Some guys are going to go down with injuries, but they've got a good group of guys. And, you know, if two out of the four make it, great. If three out of the four or all four make it, great. But I'm going to be watching McGore, Morahone, Weathers, and Cantillo, the kind of development they can make. Not that Cantillo and Weathers are going to pitch at the big league level. I would think Morahone may get an opportunity. I definitely expect Mackenzie Gore to get an opportunity this year. I think all of us want to see that.
Right, and I wanted to see that in spring training, too. We barely got to see him before everything got shut down. So I'm really curious to see those guys go, of course. I did not list Robert Hassel, who's not on the top 30 prospects list yet. Of course, they do that after everybody usually signs. So we'll see where he lands, but he is also in camp. Sounds like if and when they sign Cole Wilcox, he will also be on the 60-man roster as well. Don't really know if Cole Wilcox is the type of guy that they're going to throw out there on the Major League club at all if they need somebody. He did pitch in college, so he's a little bit more developed, if you will, but it sounds like he always has injuries to kind of deal with. I don't know if they're going to throw him to the Wolves.
Well, the thing that benefits, you know, the Padres, a lot of these other organizations, and Kyle Glazer talked about the Marlins. They brought up a lot of guys. I mean, with the additional 20 guys, I mean, you can have your 40-man roster guys, and then you can have your other 20 guys, and those guys aren't on the 40-man roster. Now, if you were going to take a guy like Cole Wilcox and bring him to the big leagues, then you got to lop a guy off your 40-man roster, and, you know, he has to go through waivers to put Wilcox on. Therefore, his time clock also starts. Now, with Wilcox, it may not be as big a deal as if it were they were trying to add a high school kid like Robert Hassel, who's not going to play in the big leagues, but he's going to have the opportunity to work out with a lot of seasoned pros, primarily over there at USD, because that's where I'm hearing San Diego Padres are going to work out. They'll work out at Petco when they can, but for the most part, I think a lot of their workouts are actually going to be at USD at Ron Fowler Park.
Yeah, which is pretty cool to keep it close. They haven't decided if they're going to use USD during the season or Lake Elsinore. It sounds like they're leaning towards Lake Elsinore. I know they're throwing out the idea of Peoria, which didn't make any sense because it doesn't account for the 100 miles that Major League Baseball said you had to be within. So USD makes a lot of sense. It's right there. It's you know, just as nice as a facility as the ballpark in Lake Elsinore, and it's a lot closer.
You know, I'm just kind of looking at the different names on these rosters. We're going to give a complete breakdown coming up at about 2:35. But I'll tell you a guy that I want to get a better look at because I didn't get an opportunity to go up and see him play in Lake Elsinore last year. And he can swing the bat, and I know he's a pretty good defensive catcher. Is this Luis Camposano? Because let's face it, Austin Hedges' numbers here in San Diego are numbered.
Yeah, and then he's also getting in trouble for, like, going to a party or something. Did you see that over the weekend?
Yeah, I saw it. I didn't track it down. I heard there were some pictures on Facebook, but on Twitter, and I didn't track those down. I just heard about it, and I heard AJ Preller had a nice little conversation with him about it as well.
Don't hang out with your friends.
Well, social distance. You can hang out, just social distance.
Right, exactly.
Wear your mask. Wash your hands. All that good stuff, Braden.
Huh? Maybe he can walk around with his catcher's mask. He put, like, something in front of his catcher's mask.
Yeah, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, you know, we can sit here and ha-ha, hee-hee. The spikes have gone up, and it is a little bit of a concern right now.
Well, until you start digging into what they count as a positive new test and what a new case is, and I don't know. I don't trust anything that's being reported. But, you know, again, as long as everybody wears their mask and everybody follows the rules, we should be in good shape.
Well, I'm just going on what the governor's telling me right now. I'm a rule follower.
Yeah, again, none of us like wearing the mask, but we do it because that's what we're supposed to do. And you're not going to get anybody sick if you wear your mask, and just do it for the greater good of mankind. Wear your mask for the 30 minutes max you're in the store. I don't know why that's so hard to comprehend.
Yeah, well, it seemed to be tough for some individuals. But, again, we got to get this thing calmed down again. You know, Braden, you guys are back at football again today. And, well, I'll tell you what, the high school the commissioners of the 10 different sections here in California, they're waiting until July 20th to make a determination whether or not high school sports are going to start on time this year. And right now, I'm not getting a real encouraging feeling right now. We'll have to wait and see where it goes by July 20th when they're supposed to give us an update.
This is exactly what CIF is going to do, because this is what they do all the time. They're going to go on July 20th and they're going, we're going to push it back till the start of September, and then we'll reevaluate on August 20th. That's basically what they're going to do. It's what happened in the spring. That's what I'm envisioning the entire time, because, again, you got to give everybody a sense of hope, especially got to give kids hope, because if you just take the hope out of the room and they basically say you're not going to have sports back, who knows what kids are going to do in their spare time that it's not sports. A lot of these kids need the sports.
Oh, there's no question about that. I guarantee a couple of things. Well, one thing in particular, I think when kids are playing sports, they do a much better job in the classroom. If sports go away, they tend to get bored and they wander. They don't do their homework. I think that's a part of it. And you just don't want kids wandering around aimlessly each and every afternoon, you know, from about 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock until it's time to, you know, head home with mom and dad. And mom and dad are working. Maybe the kids will just kind of hang out, and school becomes not very much of a priority. But if they got sports, they got to work on their time management a little bit better.
Yeah, based on what I've been told from a lot of teachers at a lot of different schools, it sounded like attendance numbers were very down during the Zoom classes. It didn't sound like a lot of kids were logging on to go to class. You don't have kids in school, it's going to be tough for them to log on online to do it. And it's going to be, you know, especially if they don't have sports or anything to keep them grounded. And that's for all kids here in San Diego. And I'm going to tell you right now, if I was in high school right now, and I had to do Zoom classes, I'd be treated almost like college, and I'd go to some, and I wouldn't go to some others, and I'd hang out with my friends. I mean, that's basically what all these kids are doing anyway.
Braden, the Zoom classes, I wouldn't be able to get behind those. And you know what? I feel bad for everyone involved. I mean, obviously, I feel bad for what we're having to go through as a country right now. But, you know, for young kids, and I know we're concerned about our young grandkids that are in elementary school. We got a granddaughter that's getting ready to start kindergarten in August. We've got another one going into second grade and another one going into sixth grade. And we're concerned because they're not going to get the learning they need if they can't go to school, interact with their teachers, interact with their friends on a daily basis. It's very depressing. And I don't blame anyone that, you know, doesn't want to log on and listen to stuff going on Zoom. And, you know, I feel bad for the teachers because the teachers didn't get into education to put stuff online like they're having to do. And a lot of people, I give them a lot of credit. I mean, all these school districts, they had to haul their tail off to try to get stuff up. And some it went well, some it didn't go all that well. But it's just a bad way to have to learn, especially if you're a youngster, and all the opportunities and all the lifetime memories that are being lost right now because these kids can't get out and go to school on a daily basis and see their buddies. And I know now we got kids, you know, going back to some of their youth activities. But again, you got to be very, very careful. So, you know, when you can, wash your hands, wear your mask, social distance, out of respect for everyone, not just yourself. With that, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, the Lakers are going to be making a signing maybe later today. We'll tell you about that. And we'll also share their schedule and the Clippers' schedule as well on the restart of the NBA right here on the John Quintero Show on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. This hour of the John Quintero Show brought to you by Amtrak Pacific Surfliner. Visit PacificSurfliner.com to learn about modified train schedules and other service updates that help keep Southern California moving. Train station, about a three-minute walk from my house. I'll look forward to, at some point in time, get back on that train. And I'd love to go up one day to San Juan Capistrano and have lunch, whether it be a weekend or maybe later in an afternoon, have an early dinner up there. beautiful take that surf liner up there. It's really kind of cool. So, you know, only about 3 minutes from my home. Okay, I want to mention the Lakers. Lakers sitting right now at 49-14. Again, the NBA season is supposed to resume, if everything is accurate, on July 30th. And I'm going to get into that. But the Lakers, apparently, and it may be done before the end of today, they're finalizing a deal with the former shooter of the Cleveland Cavaliers, J.R. Smith, long-range shooter, 34 years of age, been out of the NBA this year, former teammate LeBron James there with the Cavaliers when they won an NBA title. So he'll take the spot on the roster of Avery Bradley. You know, I was looking at the Lakers and Clippers roster, and I was also looking at the Lakers and Clippers schedule. But I did want to mention one signing, and that's Joakim Noah with the Clippers. They've signed him the remainder of the year and for next year. That's going to help them, I think, a great deal. He's in shape. He's healthy. I think that's going to really help the Clippers. Now, the Lakers, when they resume, they'll have a 5.5-game lead in the conference. So they're sitting in great shape. But, man, I was looking at their schedule. Wow, they got a tough schedule. They open up on July 30th. Down in Orlando in the bubble. It'll be the Clippers-Lakers that night. And then 2 days later, they got to go against defending NBA champion Toronto Raptors. Monday, August 3rd, Utah and the Lakers go at it. Wednesday, August 5th, Oklahoma City and the Lake Show. Thursday, August 6th, back-to-back game. They got Houston and the Lakers. Now, everybody's telling me that Houston can win this thing. I'm not buying into that. I'm not buying into that at all. They're not going to start anybody over 6'6". They can shoot all the 3 points they want, and Harden can come back and be healthy and be fresh. I'm just not buying that. I mean, him and Westbrook are two of the best players in the world. We know that. But I don't think you can just win an NBA title night in and night out shooting three-pointers. You're going to get hot one night, and you're going to be in good shape. There are going to be nights where you're not hot, and you're going to get beat by 30. If you're strictly going to bang away from long range. So I'm not buying into Houston, but the Lakers have them on back-to-back. They play again on the 5th of August against OKC. The next night they got Houston. Then August 8th they got Indiana. Monday, August 10th, they got Denver. And then they close out the eight-game resumption with a game on August 13th, a Thursday, against Sacramento. I don't know. I mean, I was feeling pretty good about the Lakers once upon a time. I don't know how good I feel right now. I mean, it really kind of comes down to LeBron James and Anthony Davis. If they move Davis inside and not let him play that power forward, put him down on the block, then I think they're in good shape. But if he's going to sit out there and cast off three-pointers and 17-foot jumpers, not sure that's going to get it done. Now, the Clippers, on the other hand, and again, I mentioned it earlier, today Kawhi Leonard's 29th birthday. For the former Aztec, Clippers are now, they're in second place. They're 5.5 games back of the Lakers. They're 44-20. Again, they open up on July 30th against the Lakers. Then they've got August 1st, they got New Orleans. Tuesday, August 4th, they've got Phoenix. That should be a win. Thursday, August 6th, they got Dallas. I saw Wilson Chandler, one of the Dallas players. He opted out for the remainder of the year yesterday. Saturday, August 8th, Clippers in Portland. Sunday, August 9th, Clippers in Brooklyn. August 12th, Denver and the Clippers. And then the Clippers close out on August 14th against OKC. Their schedule a little bit lighter than the Lakers. Lakers, I think, have a pretty tough schedule right now. But they also have a 5.5-game lead when play resumes on July 30th. Braden, you think the Lakers can hang on? And do you think the Lakers can get to the world championship? I don't know if they can win it this year, but I certainly think they got the ability to get there.
Yeah, I do. They're the best team in basketball, I think. I mean, honestly, aside from maybe like the Milwaukee Bucks and what Giannis is doing, we'll see who everybody decides to play, and whether or not Avery Bradley not playing will be a factor for the Lakers or not with signing J.R. Smith. But the Lakers, I think they're the favorite in the West right now.
I would certainly hope so. And I would think that LeBron, you know, he had his own workout gym, and, you know, And let's face it, I guarantee you LeBron had guys working out here and there. He run roughshod over that basketball team. I mean, I think they've done a really good job. They got a bunch of new guys that played together for the first time this year. I think they've done a really nice job. But let's face it, LeBron wants another championship, and he wants another championship very, very badly right now.
Yeah, he does. That's I think he's one of the main reasons why he was pushing so hard for all these guys to go down there and get something done and get some games in to try to go out and win a championship this year. What a crazy season it's been for the Lakers organization in general in 2020. With the quarantine, with the passing of Kobe Bryant, a lot of things going on with that organization. I know they'd like to do nothing more than cap the season off with winning a championship.
You know, Frank Vogel, I think, in his first year with the Lakers, I think he's done a really, really good job. I think he and his staff have done an outstanding job. I thought they did a really good job in Kobe's passing, how they handled it with their players. The organization did a fantastic job. But I really like the job Frank Vogel done. And I also think when you take a look at the Lakers right now, you know, once this season's over, they've got to find a way, and I'm pretty sure they'll sign him, but they've got to sign Anthony Davis because he's going to be a walk-away free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah, they got some things that they got to worry about, but right now they're focused on playing basketball. And, Coach, all right, we're talking about the Lakers schedule, but not only that, I mean, it's going to be another week before we get Major League Baseball schedule. They did release the schedules for the NBA on Friday. It's going to be a lot of sports going on starting, of course, July 23rd with baseball, but you start getting into the start dates for the NBA. Starting on July 30th, you only got two games there. It's going to be fun. Lakers and Clippers, though, are going to be on TNT on that first Thursday night. But starting Friday, July 31st, you have about 6 games a night or a day starting at about anywhere between 10:30, 9:30, and 11:30 in the morning, all the way to about 6 o'clock at night here on the West Coast. I mean, it's going to be basketball all day long, kind of March Madness style. I know we missed out on March Madness, but you're going to have a handful of days that are like that in a row. It's going to be fun to watch.
You know, Braden, I don't know if you saw the comments by the commissioner, Adam Silver, over the weekend, but when the schedule was given out late on Friday afternoon, Adam Silver said that he thinks the fans are really going to enjoy these games because they're going to be shooting these games from angles that we've never, ever seen before in NBA history. So that'll be interesting to see the different angles they're planning on showing us.
I'm sure they're going to have a lot of different angles. I'm sure they'll have guys mic'd up. I'm sure. I mean, even if they're not mic'd up, you should be able to hear. There's no crowd noise. That and the fact that you're going to have a lot of neutral. I mean, all these games are now neutral. There's no home court advantage with crowds. There's no home court advantage when officials get a little intimidated by the crowd, which I think you do see in the NBA. You're going to see a lot of unbiased games out here, to the point where it really doesn't matter if you have a high seed or not, because you're playing on neutral courts and neutral facilities and no fans in the stands. It's the most neutral way to determine a champion they've ever come up with.
You know, Braden, I have a feeling, you know, with the players being mic'd up and no crowd in the stands, we may hear some cuss words.
All the games are delayed. You've seen that with UFC and stuff. You can hear the all of a sudden the audio goes blank because they had to mute something. But might as well just make it viewer discretion as advised before the game and have them let it go. And that would be a great viewing experience. If you want the clean, delayed version, watch it on ESPN2.
We're going to the top of the hour. It'll be Gwynn and Chris today. They'll have you from 3 to 7. Jesse Agler will be along tonight at 7 o'clock with the Padres Social Hour. When we come back, we'll get back to more of your phone calls. Also, we're going to give you a full breakdown of the Padres 60-man roster. Our call-in number, if you'd like to take me up on that, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Thanks for tuning in to the John Quintero Show daily right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Hi, welcome back, Coach John Quintero. Thanks so much for joining us again. Tomorrow we got our big 97.3 The Fan baseball roundtable, 12 o'clock, first hour of the program tomorrow. Tony and Chris will be joining me on that. Ben and Woods will be joining us. And we'll take a look at the Padre starting rotation. Also want to remind you, you can listen to Ben and Woods, the John Contreras Show, and Gwen and Chris from the comfort of your home using your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play 97.3 The Fan. Thanks for listening to San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. I gotta give Adam Klug, our program director, and all the guys here at 97.3 The Fan a big pat on the back. You know, we've been on the air now a little bit over 2 years. In fact, Wednesday will be my one-year anniversary in this midday show. I forgot about that. Not only is it my birthday, and it was a great birthday gift last year to start doing this midday show 12 to 3, but that'll be our one-year anniversary along with my birthday. But I got to tell you, I've been at two other stations in town, and they're legendary. One in particular, legendary station, 690. In 1090, I was there, and then I chose to leave there on my own volition. And that was a good move in a variety of different ways, especially personally when I left 1090. But, you know, those two stations, I got great history with. But I got to tell you, this station here, being a little over 2 years old, is absolutely tremendous. Great group of guys with the management has been unbelievably great. Unbelievably great, very supportive of everything that we do. And this station definitely going up. And I think, you know, when you take a look at the ratings week in, week out, and month in, month out, people have really taken a liking to 97.3 The Fan. Braden, we've got our people down in the county building giving us an update right now on COVID-19, the coronavirus. What are they saying today?
Effective immediately, midnight tonight, all bars, breweries, and wineries in the county of San Diego will be closed unless they have a food license. So it sounds like we're pulling back all the bars here in San Diego. They also said please limit July 4th celebrations to only members of your household. There will be no new reopenings until after August 1st. I don't know if that includes these bars that just got shut down again, but we'll see what else they have to say. Unfortunately, we're starting to move backwards now.
They said the bars won't open again until August 1st.
Well, they said no new reopenings until after August 1st, and then they said they're going to close down bars and wineries and breweries starting midnight tonight unless they have a food license. I'm still waiting for more to come out from this ongoing conversation. I'll let you know if we have any more updates.
Okay, I appreciate that. And again, that's what we're getting from the county of San Diego right now. All right, Braden, as we work our way towards the top of the hour, we promised everyone we'd give them a full breakdown of the Padres 60-man roster. And again, when you take a look at this Padre roster, they had 18 right-handed pitchers on the roster, 8 left-handed pitchers, 5 catchers, 12 infielders, and 9 outfielders right now. And, you know, I look at that right-handed group of 18 pitchers, awful talented group of guys, starting with Chris Paddock.
All right, we got a good group, obviously, with right-handers, and my list is a little bit different than yours. Mine's broken up based on starting pitchers as a whole and then relief pitchers. But a really good group of right-handers that the Padres have. I really like this, you know, closer that they have. And that's the benefit of this Padres team was their arms. And, again, not necessarily in the starting rotation, but more in the relief category. They have one of the deepest relief core bullpens in Major League Baseball, which will provide a lot of help for this Padres team, especially since they don't have to survive 162. They just got to make it through 60 games. That definitely helps the Padres out a lot.
Well, you know, the projected starters are supposed to be Chris Paddock, Nelson Lamet, Garrett Richards, Zach Davies, and Joey Lucchese. And then you've got a guy like Mackenzie Gore. We need to talk about him. And for the fans that, you know, maybe haven't seen him, they don't really know much about him other than just hear his name on the radio and how good he's been, especially last year in Lake Elsinore. In 15 starts last year, he went 7-1 with a 1.02 ERA. But, Braden, listen to these numbers. 72 and a third innings. 36 hits. He gave up 9 earned runs. He gave up 4 homers. He only walked 20 in 79 and a third, and he struck out 110. Now, when he went to Double A, he had a good game, a bad game. His numbers in 5 starts, he was 2-1 with a 4.15 ERA. He had a WHIP of 1.29. His numbers were not dominant like they were in Elsinore. But again, this kid is only 21 years of age. He went 21 and two-thirds, double-A innings. He gave up 20 hits, 10 earned runs, 3 homers, 8 walks, 25 strikeouts. Still striking guys out, but making some mistakes against guys that, you know, are a little bit more veteran-type hitters. But, you know, he just needs to log more innings. And this guy, I think, is going to be a fantastic major league pitcher.
Right, and I'm looking forward to it. And, Coach, I mean, how much – I mean, obviously you want to hold back some of these guys and not throw them to the wolves all the time. But we talk about that over the last handful of years here on the Padres, you know, pregame show and our talk shows as well, about having a guy get thrown to the wolves and get tagged up and, you know, playing in front of big crowds and all that fun stuff. How much does, you know, not having to play in a big crowd have to factor into letting some of these guys get their toes wet in Major League Baseball when you could just basically – pitch on, it seems like you're pitching on a backfield. The only difference is the guy you're facing is obviously a lot better of a player than a guy that you'd face in normal double A or somebody you'd face on the backfield in Arizona.
You know, whether it's Mackenzie Gore, Luis Patino, or another rookie, you're still going to have those butterflies that you're making your major league debut. Going to be a lot different. And I don't know if we can even sit here and even try to visualize what it's going to be for these guys. And, you know, I'm thinking not only the Padre players, but think about this, Braden. Around Major League Baseball this year, how many guys are going to be making their major league debut without fans in the stands, but without mom and dad in the stands? How about that?
That's, I mean, that hurts a lot. I mean, it's stumping for the family. You don't get to see, you know, obviously they're opening, you know, their major league debut at any point in time. And I guess maybe you could think about, you know, maybe when the crowd starts coming in, we can have like a different type of opening day, like one where, or, you know, being, you know, major league debut when you're talking about, you know, with fans in the stands. But it stinks, man, and there's a lot of guys. I mean, who knows? They might never get the call back up again. So it's an unfortunate event that they're going to have to deal with. I know a lot of people listening probably don't really care, but everybody has different things in their life that they've missed out on in these last, you know, couple months or so, and it's tough, especially when you start going into situations that are once in a lifetime. And that's the one where it hurts the most, especially when we're talking about baseball here with guys making their debuts. We're talking about graduations. We're talking about things you only do when you're a senior in high school. It sucks, man. I mean, we had a lot of stuff going on that was taken away from us.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. And even for veteran pitchers, I mean, you get that extra bit of lather on a Friday or Saturday night when, you know, the ballpark is sold out. You got an arch rival coming in, and you're going to have to find a way to get that intestinal fortitude rolling, more natural adrenaline this year than, you know, your teammates or the crowd or who you're playing. It's going to be a little bit different. It'll be interesting to see how these players adjust. You got your bullpen list in front of you there. You'd like to share with us?
That's right. The relief pitchers, obviously led by the back end of the bullpen, Kirby Yates, Emilio Pagan, somebody that I totally forgot was a San Diego Padre during these whole stretch, and one of the fans of the, or friends of the show, Drew Pomerantz, who's back in a Padres uniform. We saw him as an all-star when he was here the first time in San Diego. Matt Strom, another great candidate for the bullpen, another guy that could probably go three or more innings. Same with Drew Pomerantz. Those are two guys that have had starting experience that might flourish really well in this short season when you got to help out the starters. Jose Castillo is back, which is good to see. And then you also have Craig Stammen, the veteran in the back of the bullpen. Javi Guerra, who's been throwing gas. Pierce Johnson, you just signed. Gerardo Reyes, who's a little bit of Jacqueline Hyde. Trey Wingenter, David Bednar, Michelle Baez, Adrian Morejon, and Luis Perdomo. And, of course, the last part of that group caught a little bit more question marks on it than the first guys I named, but a pretty stellar bullpen nonetheless.
Yeah, you know, I'm anxious to see what kind of a bounce back year Wingenter has. He really had his struggles last year. He was not the same pitcher that we'd seen the prior year, and, you know, just didn't have good command, made a lot of big mistakes right over the heart of the plate.
Yeah, he didn't have that great of a season. You know, we got a lot of guys, a lot of young guys that, you know, either had a sophomore slump or did not do well when they got pulled up. And then, of course, I mean, you can even throw in the likes of maybe a Cal Quantrill that we were talking about potentially being a bullpen guy as he was battling for a rotation spot. And we don't even know, you know, what the rotations are going to look like for these teams. Are you going to go with a five-man rotation? Are you going to go with a six- or seven-man rotation? Are you going to pair starters up? I mean, there's a lot of strategies you could do, Coach, and I know you're a former manager of different levels of baseball. I mean, I don't know how you would tackle this season, but you know what? What would you do in terms of your rotation and in terms of getting guys in and out?
Well, I think I'm staying with the five-man rotation because these guys, especially early on, aren't going to be going, you know, six or seven innings. You know, I look at Paddock's numbers, and I was going through Chris's numbers on Saturday, getting ready for our roundtable tomorrow at 12 o'clock. And, you know, Paddock threw, you know, basically five and a third last year. This year there are not going to be any handcuffs on him. But because you're only going, you know, maybe three, four, maybe five innings the first couple of starts this year, I think you keep him on a five-man rotation. You know, late in the year, that may be a different story. Maybe you want to get Gore into that rotation the final couple of weeks of the season. Then you go to a six-man rotation. A lot of that's going to depend on where the Padres are in the standings. But now I think you stay with your five-man rotation. And as these guys get into better shape, you got to – you know, get them to go as deep as they possibly can. But the benefit the Padres have, more so than a lot of other teams in baseball, not just the National League, Padres' bullpen is really, really deep. And remember, right now, from what we understand, you can carry as many pitchers as you want. So if the Padres decide to carry, you know, say 16 pitchers, they could run three or four different guys in there each and every night. And, you know, they're going to be sitting in pretty good shape.
You basically do the philosophy of the Tampa Bay Rays. Obviously, I wouldn't start with an opener, but you got a lot of good pieces and a lot of good arms that can carry you through these games. And guess what? You don't have to make it through 162. You just got to make it through 60, which I think definitely benefits the Padres. Coach, you want to move on to the position players?
Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's get to the catchers here.
All right, catchers, I was going to recommend that as well. It's a very interesting group. Obviously, you got Austin Hedges and Francisco Mejia, two of the guys that were going to battle it out, and that was going to be a big topic of discussion going into a regular season. And, of course, we're talking about it right now, going into a 60-game season. Who's going to play catcher? Who's going to get the majority of that bats? Who's going to – maybe Francisco Mejia can DH, and then you have Hedges catch. But I think the whole point of having Mejia in is to make sure that Hedges is not in the lineup in terms of offensive production. You also have Luis Torrens. And Luis Camposano. Luis Torrens, we've seen at the big league level. Of course, he was a Rule 5 draft pick a handful of years ago. And then you got Luis Camposano, a guy that can rake down there in the minor leagues. I wouldn't be surprised if you see him at one point in time. He is on the 40-man roster. And then you got Webster Rivas to round out the five catchers the Padres have. A lot of options there for maybe the backup role behind a guy like Mejia or even Hedges.
Well, I think this is a huge year for Francisco Mejia. I think he's going to end up being the everyday catcher. And, you know, he's going to get his opportunities. He's going to DH a little bit, and Hedges can catch and get his time in. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think Austin Hedges is on borrowed time here in San Diego because at some point in time, they're going to have to work out a long-term deal with him, and they're not going to pay him the money that he would probably get. And most of his money is coming from the defensive side. I mean, the guy hit, you know, well under 200 last year, and you're not going to invest a long-term contract with him. So I think this is a big year for Mejia. He's got to show that he can be a frontline catcher. If not, then his days are probably numbered, and I think the next man up will probably be Camposano. Luis Torrens has come a long ways, being a former Rule 5 guy, but he's not an everyday catcher, I don't believe. He could be the third catcher maybe on an opening day roster if the Padres choose to keep three catchers, but I think Camposano might be the guy going forward. But again, Mejia's going to get that opportunity to take this job by the bull by the horns this year, but if he can't get it done, it's time to move on and bring a guy in that can catch every day and be a benefit to the pitching staff and help you out offensively.
With the expanded rosters, do you carry a third catcher?
I probably don't. I probably don't. I'd rather have that extra arm or maybe an extra outfielder who can run and steal a bag for me in the ninth or tenth inning.
I agree with you. I wouldn't take one either. I'm never really in a situation where I want three catchers anyway.
And you know what the deal is? You got Mejia, who's a switch hitter. You got Hedges, a right-hand hitter. If I had a real good guy coming off the bench who could be a good left-hand hitting, pinch-hitting guy and couch a little bit, then I would think about it. But you know what? You have a foul tip and the guy's gone. You got your other guy working out across town at USD or up the freeway at Lake Elsinore. He'll be here tomorrow night.
Let's move on to the infielders. Obviously, this around the horn, Manny Machado, Eric Hosmer, Fernando Tatis Jr., Jerickson Profar type of guys, Greg Garcia, Jake Cronenworth, Ty France, and then you have the minor league type guys, Owen Miller, Breivik Valera, CJ Abrams, Gabriel Arias, and Tucapita Marcano. Name not on the list, of course, is Brian Dozier. Who knows if he gets his contract figured out to add him, as well as Gordon Beckham, two guys that was just released before the roster freeze, of course, Gordon Beckham. But we'll see what happens in the infield, how many guys you keep, and again, you got a surplus of second basemen.
Yeah, I'm looking at this right now. Obviously, you've got Greg Garcia, Hosmer, Manny Machado. There's three. You got Profar is four. Fernando Tatis Jr. is five. I think Cronenworth might have a shot, but I also think Ty France, because Ty France can hit a long ball. He can win a ball game for you late. I think Ty France probably ends up on this ball club. I'm not sure Cronenworth will be on that top 30. I do expect to see him at some point in time this year.
Right, I think so as well. Move on to the outfielders real quick as we're running out of time here. Tommy Pham, Will Myers, Trent Grisham, Josh Naylor, Franchy Cordero, Taylor Trammell, Edward Olivares, Hudson Head, Robert Hassel III. Not expecting to see Head or Hassel III at all in the major league level, but they're there to get some work in. Got a lot of options here, not only for outfield off the bench, but even some designated hitter candidates.
Edward Olivares has got some ability, a little bit older. I think he's 29 right now, but he's got some ability. I could see him, if someone to go down, I could see him getting an opportunity at the big league level. And I think Taylor Trammell, you and I got to meet Taylor, talk to him. He's a really solid guy, and he wants to play in the big league so bad. I think he'll get an opportunity, but I don't think he'll be on that opening day 30-man roster. I think they'll probably keep working with him, but I do see him in the big leagues this year.
I see him in the big leagues this year. I think the expanded roster really helps out Taylor Trammell in his career.
Yeah, and you know, of course, you got Will Myers. Will Myers, I'm expecting a nice bounce back year from Will Myers this year. I really am, Braden. I thought the last 4 to 6 weeks during last season, even though his numbers don't show it, I thought he looked much better at the plate.
Right, I agree with you there, and we'll see what happens with, of course, I like the option of potentially putting Franchy Cordero out at a designated hitter spot. I mean, his big downside, of course, is his fielding ability, but he can sure hit the living snot out of the ball if he's healthy.
That is true, but you might have to keep him in a bubble and keep him healthy. Hey, I want to remind everyone, all guests on the John Quintero Show come via the SDCCU fan hotline. SDCCU online and mobile banking lets you do your banking from your smartphone. Messages and data rates may apply. For details, visit SDCCU.com. Reminder, tomorrow we got a big 97.3 The Fan Baseball Roundtable at 12 o'clock. Ben and Woods, Gwynn and Chris. And then we'll open up the phone lines. For Braden Soprenant, Coach John Quintero, have a great afternoon, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thanks for downloading the John Quintero Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwynn and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.